So today on our show, we had Joan Denizo, and Joan created her own bicycle company for overweight people about 20 some years ago because she was, trying to become healthy and get out there in the world, and found that nothing worked for people of her size. And so, hats off to her entrepreneurial spirit for figuring that out. But we had a kind of a wide ranging conversation from Joan, just trying to point out that people in general and business owners too can just maybe do a better job of understanding the struggles that overweight people have in their day-to-day life. Little things you can do, just different ways you could maybe say things that would allow those interactions to be less uncomfortable for both parties. And I thought it was a good one. She's an author. She even goes into businesses and helps them with this type of stuff. So we get into all that during this show, and I think our listeners will definitely carry something away from it.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely a very eye-opening kind of podcast and topic, something I don't really think really about myself a whole lot. But, as the CDC states, 70% of society is overweight, 40% obese. So that's obviously well over half of our society fits into this boat. So Joan just really talked to me a lot about how we can sympathize with these individuals and what business owners are missing. And maybe it's either products that they could be selling, or if it was better serving the teams that they work with and providing them with larger chairs or different types of work environments. So I think you'll find this another great episode. So thanks for listening.
Welcome to another episode of the Healthy Team, Healthy Business podcast. We're very excited today to have guest Joan Denizo with us. And I told David, I heard Joan on the Low Carb MD podcast a couple of weeks ago and was really touched by that episode. I thought her story was just so unique and different than anything we had heard or talked about. And I thought she would be a wonderful guest, and just happened to reach out and she said yes. So here we are, Joan. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm excited to participate in this.
Well, good. So on the episode I heard you on, you were talking about your business where you had created, this was not your background, but you created a business where you build bicycles for people who are overweight. Because basically a traditional bicycle doesn't fit them. But I know there's a backstory to that. And I was wondering with our listeners, if you could share a little bit of how that came to be, and then maybe we'll dive into some other stuff from there.
Absolutely. So yeah, I started Size Bikes is the name of the company. And I started it almost 20 years ago because I was like, okay, I know I need to start exercising. And unlike probably the two of you, I hate to exercise. And so I was racking my brain. What did I like to do? What do I like to do? And I've always loved to bike ride. So I said, all right, well, I'll get a bike. And so I started researching because I'm like, I want to make sure my bike is safe because, I'm really quite heavy. And what I discovered is that nobody was making bikes. They were telling me heavy duty bikes held 200 pounds. And I'm like, come off it. I cannot be the only fat person that wants to ride a bike. It just isn't possible. There are tons of us, literally. And, it doesn't make sense. So, I dug deeper into the rabbit hole and found out that, it was not unique. That was what was considered a heavy duty bike. And so I kind of went on a wing and a prayer. I had just happened to have taken a how to build a website class with my mother. And I said, well, I can build a website for this. And I found a frame builder, and I had lurked on this frame builder site. And this guy, I really liked his attitude and his energy. And so I, emailed him. I said, do you do bikes for heavy people? He goes, yeah, my uncle is really heavy, and I built him a bike. So I hired him to make a prototype. And I just took off from there very slowly because I spent only what I earned. And, a bike is not a cheap venture. So it was a very, very, very slow climb up. But what happened is it was so unique that it got a lot of press because nobody had ever conceived of the idea of building a bicycle for heavier people. And when I tell people what I was doing, they're like, Why can't you ride a regular bicycle? I'm like, well, they're not built for somebody my weight. Plus there's the added force of, the riding and the bumps and all those things that just make it very unsafe. So that's how that started. And I knew that I was on the right track because the number of people that, I won't say that bought bikes, because my bikes have been and continue to be quite expensive because it's a very small company. But the people that were interested and the ones that did buy were just so excited to be able to ride finally. And it was like, yeah, why aren't we doing more of this? So
that's what were you doing? What were you doing before that? Or what was your profession?
It makes no sense. I lived in Vermont at the time, and I worked for the state of Vermont. I was an employment counselor for a long time, and then I moved over to the health department. I was working for the Office of Minority Health, which okay. In Vermont, I was a minority. I was a white female. I mean, it was crazy. There, at that time, there were like no people of color in Vermont, so they couldn't be too choosy.
Right.
But if I were to get that job now, I'd say I am a minority because I'm overweight and that should be counted. But
so this Sunday, I was really interested in trying to finish this book. And I had, I don't know, 8 or 10 chapters left or something like that. So it was going to take me a little bit of time to really dial in and read that thing. I knew I needed to focus. And my niece was over visiting, playing with my two kids, and they were running around the house. And I was just trying to really concentrate, and I was having trouble with it. So I took a dose of the magic mind, took the shot. And when I sat back down, I was able to actually sit down and focus on the book and read even with the distractions around me and knock that thing out. And so that was my first experience with it. And I was pretty excited to have it work that way. If any of our listeners are interested in trying that stuff out, I would highly recommend it. Again, it's called Magic Mind. And if you use code HTHB20, that'll get you a discount. It's 56% off if you offer do the subscription. And I think if you just do a one-time purchase, it's like 20% off. But I would recommend it. Again, one try. I'm going to give it some more tries, but I think it's worked for me, and I think it would probably work for you too.
I've grown since then.
What are some of the main differences between your bike and a standard bike, if you will?
Well, I make my bikes out of chromoly steel, first of all. So, you know, aluminum, if it's not strong enough, it can crack, it can break. And steel can bend, but it won't break, which is a huge deal. One thing that's like a really simple fix that we figured out pretty early, like, you know, if I would ride my bike and I'd like turn to look at something on the left, my seat would turn with me and it would stay turned. So it would like move back and forth and it was very unsafe. So we just put in double bolts.
Yeah.
So you can't do a quick fix of the seat height. You have to unbolt it, but you know, it stays put. One of our most popular features is changing the Q factor, which is the distance your feet are from the frame. And many people, you know, adjust that, but for heavy people, they are typically bigger. Their legs are further apart and they just need a little more room. And so I've put a little space between it. Like I don't know how much, but it's not a lot, but it's enough to make them so much more comfortable and safer, because if you're uncomfortable, you're not safe. So. Right. So those are some of the things that we've done, but we've gone through and kind of soup to nuts changed many, many things because, I mean, not all of them are going to be catastrophic, but they're going to be dangerous if you don't pay attention. So that, you know, like just like, and this was 20 years ago, right? So there weren't a lot of fat bikes. There weren't wide tires. There weren't a lot of things that are more common now. And that, you know, I did pretty wide tires considering what was out there. And so I just put a lot of safety features in, and I worked with bike mechanics and designers to really create a product. It wasn't just Joan's big ideas. It's like, what do we need to do to make this safe? And it was tested, and it was, you know, it's they're heavy duty bikes. So.
Have you stuck with bikes this whole 20 years? Have you branched off into any other product lines or things that have come up?
We sell a few accessories, bike accessories, though, I've always self-financed, and bikes are not cheap to make and like store. So I haven't had a lot of money to go further. And it's a regret, and it's not a regret, because the fact is, unless I got really big, I couldn't make my bikes mm-hmm. in the really inexpensive range. And with COVID, that blew the lid off everything. I mean, mm-hmm. in terms of costs. So, and I'm still feeling the repercussions of that because, mm-hmm. you know, and then last summer, it wasn't a great year for bikes. It's like all over. You talk to any bike dealer and like, yeah, people aren't buying. So, you know, so I did not expand. I'm changing that now. Now my businesses look completely different. But that is, I mean, I still have Zai's bikes, but my new businesses are much more inclusive. But we'll be drop shipping rather than building.
Okay.
So
you started the bikes because you went to the doctor and the doctor had told you needed to lose weight, right? And then the doctor said, go figure it out essentially on your own. He had no solutions for you. Is that kind of correct?
Pretty much. I mean, yes, that is what it happened numerous times. So I don't have a doctor in mind when you say that. But yes, I've heard that more times than, you know, than anyone should, for sure.
And I know that kind of is a common theme or a common struggle is they go to the doctor, but they don't necessarily give you a whole bunch of solutions. It might be medications, but not a lot of explanations. Do you have any advice or guidance for Josh or other or myself or other fellow business owners on how you could maybe meet your team members where they kind of are and kind of bringing them along? You went out there and you figured it out in yourself. I need to lose weight. I want a bike. I wanted the wind in my hair. I want the freedom of riding a bike. You really, you know, kind of took it all amongst yourself and you were really proactive. Any advice on maybe trying to bring some people along that aren't as proactive as yourself?
Well, yeah, that's what my new business is all about, frankly. It's called Body Ready. And it's all about waking businesses up to the fact that there are over 1 billion obese people in the world. 1 billion obese people. Not even talking about overweight people. So what... And people aren't building things for us. They're not being welcoming in the workplace. They're not, they're things, it's like this not very well hidden discrimination. And I say not very well hidden because people like me are big and you can't really hide us, but we're not seen. It's like getting old. You don't get seen so much, right? That's what they always say. Yes, there's so many things people can do. First of all, treat everybody, your employees, your customers, everybody as human beings. It's not about size, right? It's all about, oh, this is another human being. They have feelings, they have needs, and they have, hello, hint for businesses, they have money to buy things. and so people have been ignoring that. So you specifically asked me, David, if there are any specific things that you can do as a business to help. Is that what your question was? I'm sorry, I got blabbering so much.
No, that's fine. Yeah, correct. What could I do to maybe help somebody that's not as creative in creating their own bike and making sure they're getting out there and exercising? If I see somebody that maybe is having a diabetes issue, a weight issue, how could I maybe bring them along and improving those things so that they're there for their family and there for the company and they're living their best and happiest life possible?
Yeah. That's a kind of a $1 million question, yeah. Right? Because you can't make somebody do something, right? And that's the thing. And the thing with, and I'm going to speak globally, and it's probably not true for everybody, but most people who are overweight or obese have incredible shame around it. Because we're told from all directions that we're wrong, we're bad, we're too big, we're too fat, we weigh too much, we shouldn't climb that that ladder or sit in that chair. Everything points to no, no, no. And so plus you have people helping by saying, oh, here's a great exercise for you, or, you know, do this or do that. So my belief is we can't tell anybody anything. However, you could say, oh my God, I found this cool website where I can buy a bike. And my aunt, even if you don't have this aunt, you know, is kind of heavy. So I'm thinking maybe I turn her on to it. Have you ever seen it? You know, and tell them about that. Or there are ways to get people involved without being so obvious. Because frankly, if you walk up to somebody that is struggling with their weight and say, you know, I feel, yeah, I know you've got diabetes and it's really a bummer, but you know, I've got some ideas. They've heard that a million times and they know that. And they've probably tried diets and they've tried modifications. And the sad reality is that something like 95% of people who lose weight gain most of it back. And it's not because I just stopped trying. It's because it's hard. Our body is set to, you know, go to a certain weight. And if all of a sudden you're like starving it or doing whatever to get it down, then you need to keep at it. And it's hard. I mean, over the last couple of years, I've lost 100 pounds. And I'm very proud of that because that's 100 pounds. I still have a lot of weight I should lose. I would like to lose. But I'll tell you what, for the last, I don't know, 20 months, I've been maintaining my diet and I am barely losing anything because my body's like, oh, okay, I'm not going any lower because, hey, this is where you should be, right? Don't go crazy. And so, you know, it's challenging because I'm like, well, actually, I'd like to lose a little more weight, you know, and it's resisting. So, you know, my goal, and I've been working really, I'm not saying really hard, but I mean, I follow Tro's diet actually. And so I eat very, very low carb and high protein. That's what I eat. And yet it really isn't making a lot of change for me at this point because I had already lost a chunk of change or a chunk of pounds. So it's hard. David, I honestly don't know if I have an answer for that. All you can do is, you know, as a business owner, you could leave pamphlets out with ideas for things that, you know, people might do. You could have in-service days where people, you know, have me come in. That's what I do now with Body Ready. I speak to people, I get them excited, I hear them. I mean, that's a big thing, you know, hearing people and understanding where they're coming from. Because you know, if you've always been fit and always loved exercise and it's never dawned on you that you might have to worry about the pounds, well, it's never dawned on you and they know, you know? I mean, as it is, I have a coach, a weight loss coach who is, she's lost a couple hundred pounds. And when she works with somebody like professionally who is thin, even though they may say, oh, I used to be heavy, she doesn't believe them. She's like, they have to prove themselves that they truly have lived that and know what it is. And I actually think it's true. I think it's true. And that's why, and I'm not tooting my own horn, I am, but that's not the purpose of this spiel, is that that's why you need people like me, like Body Ready. Bodyready.org is my website, to come in and talk to people and say, I get this. And say to you, okay, like we go through your waiting area and like all the chairs have arms and they're this far apart. Well, that's an easy fix, right? Or you go to the office and people are in office chairs that aren't wide enough, or the casters break because the casters aren't strong enough. I mean, there's so many little things that you don't notice because you've never lived that life. So my thought is it's not easy. There is no easy way. All you can do is be available to listen and really care. And maybe you can even say to them, what would you like me to do? What could I do that could help you? Is there anything I could do? And if it isn't now, but if it's in 2 months or whenever, let me know because I want to help. But I don't think we can volunteer.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, Dave and I both try to do some coaching. We bring in outside parties to our businesses to talk to our employees about just various topics on these things. And it's very true. People either want to do it or they don't. And the ones that usually attend or get active are the ones that you really don't need to be doing any changes.
They're almost there. You just need a little push.
A little bit. I'm kind of wondering, though, It'd be nice maybe to expand a little bit, just thinking of, from the business perspective, what else are businesses missing as far as opportunities for heavy people that are customers or could be potential customers? What else in the life of someone who is overweight do they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, that products that David and I take for granted, or something like chairs, like you mentioned, that just got me kind of thinking, what else is it, or that businesses could think of, well, if my employees can't, or are having trouble or struggling to lose weight, maybe I could do one or two things that would at least make their life easier when they come to work.
Right. Which is whole the whole thing that I believe, because, you know, everything changes. But yeah, there's so many things. There's so many things. But it, and it depends, obviously, what your area that you work in. But for instance, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine who goes to a hairdresser. And she's like, you know, they put you in these chairs where you're washing your hair and you can barely fit in the chair because they all have like, they're just little chairs.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, how about allowing room for people to move? Now, I know some people prefer and rely on arms on chairs, but there's a thing called, you know, movable arms. Very easy to add to it. I mean, I don't know how easy. I'm not a chair designer, but just put movable arms. So then if you're in a doctor's office waiting room or at the beauty parlor or anywhere you have arm challenges by your chair, you just put them up. Or if you're like an older person and you need help getting up, you push them down. You know, it's just, so there's so many different things. The width of hallways, you know, like if you have a narrow hallway, it is, it's disconcerting because you think, am I going to fit through here? Like, or you go shopping and things are on hangers and they're, you know how you go to a clothing store or mom and pop shop, everything's crammed together. The aisles are narrow, or you go in a clothing store and the clothes are like practically sticking out into the aisle. I mean, as a heavy person, that is a huge challenge. So that's why I personally think the idea is to go into the business, look around, be like a worker and say, okay, what does this person have to do? And what things might get in their way? Talk to people. I also am a member of the Institute for Human-Centered Design, which is an awesome nonprofit institute that their whole thing is it's guided by the user experience. And I totally believe in that. I started kind of congruently my business and working or being on the board there, but it is a huge advantage when somebody who has to live with that gets input on how it's changed. And that's basically what I'm doing. I'm saying, you guys want to make more profit? Well, let's look at what you need to do. First of all, make bigger sizes. First of all, you know, make your chair stronger. You know, like these kind of things that are just too... a heavy person, it's a no-brainer.
Is that what that Institute for Human Design, it's looking at any different areas that we can improve with people with obesity as well as other disabilities, or what is that program?
Yeah, it's all disabilities. It's primarily, I mean, I'm a new addition with my size inclusiveness. It's more color, physical disabilities, religion, race, you know, all those things. And it's more than just, I'm more like, let's see how we can fix things in this environment and make it good. They do totally redesigns of buildings and help people integrate access and success in what they help design, but it tends to be on a much bigger scale. It's cool. They're in Boston. It's a very interesting organization. They're great. But about me? No, just kidding.
Is it? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe you can tell me where you stand on this. So it seems like you understand that you're better off maybe in life to not be heavy if you can help it. But if you are heavy or there's people in your life that are heavy, you should do everything you can to try to make them comfortable. Does that kind of sum up where you stand on that? I don't know if I put words in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, remember that they're just people.
Yeah.
And they are people. right? It's not just, it's about, these are human beings and they deserve the same comforts, the same joy, the same access to things that you do. And that's the difference is I don't care. I mean, yeah, I just told you I lost a bunch of weight and I would like to lose more. And I have lost a bunch of weight in the past and I've gained it back. And that is the story of heavy people, most heavy people. Yeah, you shouldn't, but I don't know if you should try to comfort them as just as remember that they're human. If your daughter was coming in to work for you, let's say you have a 20-year-old daughter and you're bringing her into work. I have no idea how old you are, how old your daughters, if you have them, are, but I'm just hypothetically, is coming into work. You'd make sure she had a chair that was pretty comfortable, a desk that was at the right height, that she had a computer she could work on, that the light was good, that she could move around in her chair. She was close to the water fountain or the bathroom. Let's say she was somebody that for whatever reason has to pee a lot. So, okay, let's put her near the bathroom so she can do that. I mean, just you'd make accommodations because she's a person that needs those accommodations. That should be done for each person and including heavy people. And there might be some things that you need to do for heavy people that you wouldn't even think of for your, you know, size of, I don't know, 6 daughter. You would think, oh, well, Joan, is that chair comfortable? Would you prefer one without arms? You know, and here's another trick. And this is something that I was very careful about with my bikes. We never ask customers how much they weigh. We tell them what the bike can hold. Because frankly, it's nobody's business how much I weigh or how much they weigh. And what they want to know, will this hold me? And I'll also tell you, this is just an aside, like our bikes, most of our bikes go up to 550 pounds. And if people can choose 2 bikes, the same price, the same more or less doodads on it, sorry, great English word there, then they will always choose the one that holds more weight because they're afraid they might gain the weight. And it could be 150 pounds, and there's no way they're going to get 150 pounds. But when you're big and you struggle with this up and down all the time, you think, oh my God, well, I'm going to get the bigger one because I'll have it just in case. And that is very common. So my point is, like, let's say you realize that this person maybe breaks a caster or something on their office chair. Instead of saying, well, how much do you weigh? I'll get you one that holds it. I'll just say, I found 3 different casters. This one holds, you know, to 500 pounds. This one holds to 1,000. This one holds to 300. Is there any particular one you prefer? You know, just like let them choose. Let them choose. Because there is so much shame around weight that it's, I mean, I have lied to everybody my whole life about how much I weigh. My whole life. I mean, I'm finally like, you know, whatever, it's what it is, but I still wouldn't tell you. I mean, it's nobody's business. It's my business. And it's, I think that in business, particularly where there's all the dynamics of businesses. And I mean, you guys are even doing this podcast tells me that you're good people and you care and you're good employers. And I don't care who you're talking to. Nobody heavy is going to tell you how much they weigh. Not realistically. They won't. I'm lying. Probably somebody would. Some beefy guy who's like really proud of it. But in most cases, certainly women won't tell you. So yeah,
I like that. That's it reminds me of a really large business owner, Bob Chapman. And he always talked about treat everybody. It's somebody's mother. It's somebody's father. It's your daughter. It's your sister. And you probably wouldn't go up to your daughter and say you're too fat. We need to get you a bigger chair, whatever. So just it's a lot of simple stuff. But, you know, just thinking about how you want to be treated and how you're delivering that message to somebody. Right. It's just a valuable message there.
Exactly. Yeah.
You also you have many talents here. You also wrote a book. Is that correct?
I did. I just wrote a book. It was recently published. It's called, nobody can see this, but you guys, it's called Big Body Business, Obvious Opportunities for the Overweight, Overlooked, and Underserved. And it is exactly what the title says it is. Right. It is written for businesses. And the idea is you are missing out on a lot of customers and a lot of good quality employees by not treating them right. And that is the message. And I go into all sorts of detail about, like, you know, how to design products, how to do this. But the part that I think makes my book stand out, well, first of all, nobody's talking about this, so I think it does stand out. But but I incorporate, because I am heavy and I have considered myself heavy my entire life, although, you know, I see pictures of myself in high school and I'm like, eh. But anyway, I have always thought I was fat. And so between that and Starting Size Bikes, I have incorporated a lot of stories about the touchy feeling stuff, about what people live, fat people live, and how they feel, and how the moments of shame and embarrassment. And even when people are doing everything right, they still have shame, which is why you have to tread so carefully. Like, I have this story that I tell. It's about a woman who was on a boat and with her cousin, and they were swimming. They found this great cove and they said, "You want to go in?" She was like, "Yes, definitely. Let's go in." So she jumped in, swam around with the other people, and she couldn't get out of the boat. Back into the boat. So the Jacob's ladder, you know, it's a... So her cousin was in the boat. And so he, you know, reached out and pulled her. She still couldn't get up. So somebody else came from behind her and pushed her butt up. And between the two of them, well, the three of them, if you count her, she got out of the boat. And then she just went and she sat on a bench. Thankfully, boats have bunches, so she didn't have to worry about that. And she just wanted to die. This was a close friend who told me this story. So she said, "I just was so ashamed." And nobody mocked her. Nobody said anything. But the reality is her body was too heavy and she didn't have enough strength to get herself out. And she had incredible shame from that. And that is the kind of thing that happens all the time, which is why we need to treat people so respectfully, because we don't know people's stories, you know, and fat people have a lot of shame in our history. So.
Yeah, no, I think too often we think they just control it. It's, you know, why don't you fix that? But it's just like everything
else. Eat less, exercise more.
Exactly. It's not reality. And sometimes the type A individual or just anybody can just not be really respectful and sympathetic. And I like that story there that you gave.
Do you talk a little bit more about the process of someone purchasing one of your bikes? What do they see on your, I guess, on your website or wherever? And what are their options? And I know you talked about, you said like how much weight it'll hold, but what are the things that they want to consider when they're looking through that site? What's their experience like when they're doing the buying process?
That's a lot of questions. it's, you know, we try to make our site, like I said, very user-friendly. You know, we clearly say, you know, we're the only store that sells exclusively to overweight and obese people, because there are other stores that have started. There are other stores that start. There's actually a couple of places on Amazon that sell bikes for heavy people, but there's no weight guarantees or limits. And it's just like, if you think we're going to be good, yeah, try. Obviously, they don't say that, but that's what I'm assuming. But they're also a heck of a lot cheaper than my bikes, you know? But anyway, back to the question. So we just try to, we don't ever talk about how much do you weigh. We just say, these are the sizes. And, you know, so, and then we try to give as much detail. I talk about in the story of the bike, how it's used and why it's designed a certain way. And then we give all the specs so the bikies can see all that. And basically that's it. You know, we have a mailing list and we do have sales. We've started having sales primarily because the economic situation and the bikes are not selling as well as they used to. So that's good for people. They can, you know, they can get discounts, but they are, the big thing is, you know, you're a person, you want a bike. Okay. Yeah. Here's a bike. It'll fit you.
Do you have a wide variety? I mean, can kids, is it for primarily adult bikes? There's not, is there youth bikes as well? Is it adults? Is it one style, multiple styles, or?
We sell recycled bikes. Get it? Josh shouldn't get it. He's like, but we don't sell kids bikes. But the thing with kids bikes, which is something I learned from my bike builders and people I learned from, is those, because those tires are smaller, the smaller the tire, like, I mean, it's, you know, a 12 inch tire as opposed to a 16 inch tire, the smaller the tire, the more weight it can hold. Mm-hmm. So kids don't really need a heavy duty bike unless it's a teen, in which case, like if the teen is a big, you know, a taller person and needs a bigger bike, then they might need to look at it. But we have three styles we're currently selling that we build. And the new leaf is the name of the bike. It's traditionally been the most popular. And the time of your life is got a slanted entry. And then there's the Yonder, which is, we really integrated the Q factor thing. So the stance, which made a big difference, and wider tires. That's our most recent model. So we're looking at hopefully building a new model, which is more like the Yonder, but with a lower step through, because people are finally getting to the reality that it's not a girl's bike. Yeah. And a lot of people are older, you know, and it's harder for them to lift their bike up and over, their leg up and over. So it makes it a lot easier for them to mount and dismount. So, and then we also are selling some other bikes. We sell Worksman bikes, which are industrial bikes, but they're pretty strong. We recently started selling an electric tricycle by, Travel, by Travel. And those are very nice bikes. And we also sell Civilized Cycles, which is another newer brand. It's kind of funny. But those, the bikes that we are adding to only go up to 400 pounds. And that's almost common. I mean, it's not common, but it's almost common. And a lot of our customers will say, well, you know, I could fit that, but I'm afraid I might gain weight. So it's back to the old, do I trust myself? Life has told me that I can't. I gain it back. So,
do you ever get success stories? People say, you know, your bike saved my life, or you know, your bike changed my life.
I do. I get a lot of them. And I have people that have lost weight riding, definitely. That's the other thing I never talk about. I never talk about, this is your magic bullet. I don't believe that. Sure. I think it's completely bogus. And I think it's just lies and disappoints people. Mm-hmm. What I say is, if you want to get moving and have fun and feel the wind in your hair and feel some joy, this is the way to go. That's what I promote. But there are some people that have lost a whole bunch of weight riding, and they're very happy. I mean, they're happy they've done that. But a lot of people that aren't necessarily losing weight just are thrilled to be able to ride again and feel safe and know that the bike is not going to crack. I mean, I had a customer, it was a while ago, but you know, he called me and he said, Joan, I was riding my bike on the Chicago bike path and my bike broke literally. And I fell off and my bike like cracked. And this guy that was riding by me said, oh, you need to call Joan at Zeiss Bike. So that was amazing, because I mean, I don't sell that many bikes, but it was perfect because he could see, yeah, you want a bike that fits, this is where you go. And
that's a rewarding aspect starting that business.
That's why I did it. I mean, if you heard my past, I'm a human services worker. It's people. I'm all about people. And so I pay contractors to do the work that needs to be done to make things that are safe. And I love to help people. So yeah, it's what I'm about.
I like that message.
Yeah, Joan, we always like to kind of round out or try to end out the episode with your input and what you think we could do as a business owners. What's one thing maybe I could institute today after this show to promote health in the company, whatever way you see as health, if it's either physical, mental, what's one thing I could do as a business owner today to change or improve the culture?
I think maybe one thing that could be done is you could have, and you may have this already, but like, you know, have lunch with the staff. Like, you know, you have a 3-hour lunch, they come and go. I don't know how big your company is, but you get to talk to people either individually or in very small groups and really get to know them. And like I said before, listen to them. And if you can, and you can say, we just did an interview with this woman. It's all about making businesses, you know, better for people of all sizes. And what would you like to see improve? You know, I mean, that's an open invitation. And they could say, I hate that I have to stand on the line all the time. And you're like, well, maybe we could get you a stool that slides. Would that work? I mean, I don't know your business, but that's just like, that's the kind of thing. And if you bring me up and say, you know, Joan was like, just talk to people, ask what they want. I think you'll get some pretty in-depth answers that may give you more specific needs.
I like that feedback. Can you share with our audience again just the websites and social media stuff where we, if anybody wants to find more about you and your businesses?
I would love to. All right. So first, I want to remind people about my book. It's called Big Body Business: Obvious Opportunities with the Overweight, Overlooked, and Underserved. And my name is Joan Denizo. Denizot, and you can find it on Amazon. And it's also should be getting out to libraries and other bookstores, but I know it's on Amazon now. My new websites, because even though we talked a lot about Zyspikes, and I understand that because that's, first of all, these guys are active and that's where the most experience is, but you've heard a lot about that. And that is Zyspikes.com, and Zyze is Z-I-Z-E, bikes, okay. Plural. It's pretty funny. I have to just tell you a quick one-off on that. So in France, my husband is French, and I'm fluent in French. Mm-hmm. And in France, the term Zizi means, how do I say this on a podcast? it means penis. So a Zizi is an affectionate way of saying penis. So people call me and say, is this Zizi bikes? And I'm like, no. That is not what I meant to do. That is not what I meant to do. So it's not Zizi, it's Zyze, okay? Now my new business that I started is called Body Ready. And I have three different websites that are affiliated with Body Ready. One is bodyready.org, and that is where you can find out how we can help your business or how you might want to, you know, download a training or just get some information. So bodyready.org. I also have bodyready.shop, which is not quite ready, but that's going to be where we drop ship products that we've pre-approved. And we say, this is something, you know, that fits, that this will hold somebody that is 500 pounds, whatever. We'll give them the stats so they know. Like if you buy a triple X from China, it's probably fits like a size 10 US. So, you know, we need to get people, we're filtering for people. We're also doing a certification problem. Program. So if people want to get their products certified, we can certify it. And then they also get promotion on the bodyready.shop. And then lastly, there's joandenizo.com, which is about my book and other services I offer. So there are several different ways of reaching us. And I would love people to reach out if you know, if people want more information, they want to buy a book. Yeah. But it's exciting because I am on the cusp of a new business and I'm very excited, but I'm very passionate about this, as you might be able to tell.
Yeah.
And it's important to me. It's really important. It's past time that people of all sizes are included in this beautiful world we have.
No, most definitely. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing everything that you've been working on, your businesses and your passion. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks for joining us for another great episode with Healthy Team, Healthy Business and our never-ending topics on the benefits of wellness in your workplace to benefit your team and ultimately benefit your organization. We hope you enjoyed the show. And if you take the time to leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, that would be greatly appreciated. Also, if you got an opportunity, maybe just hit the share button and send this out to some of your friends or colleagues that you think might also find this topic interesting. It's really appreciated, and it could definitely help spread the word out there for businesses looking to make improvements. If you have the opportunity to send us some feedback, we would certainly love it. Teamdudes@healthyteamhealthybusiness.net. Visit our website at healthyteamhealthybusiness.net for more information about us, our show, past episodes, etc. Thanks again for joining us on Healthy Team, Healthy Business.